Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Turn the lights back on. Oh, here we go. Leave them on. As we get ready to begin, let me say also, following services, there's a table that I've set up back on the back entry into the auditorium that has some description about things about Toowoomba, Australia, which is where we focus this time in doing the mission work. So feel free to look through that information. I have a map that I've laid out that also kind of shows you where the church building is in the geographical layout of Toowoomba. And then the area covered in pink is the area by which we worked during the time in which I was in the country. This mission work, again, is in Australia, Toowoomba, Queensland. And in that, received an invitation back early part of January, February. I met with the eldership here at East End and received encouragement as well as permission to go into the work once again. Those of us who are part of East End, been here for many years, will know that Don and I went for our first time into Australia back in 2010, worked with this congregation in a campaign for Christ. I was blessed to be able to return back in 2011. They've asked for us to come in other years, but it's hard to get away from here with all the things we have going on. But this year, certainly feel privileged to be able to have returned to the work there. Left on September the 11th, the night before, having finished with the lesson here at East End, drove to Nashville, spent the night, actually had to be at the airport at 5:30 in the morning, and flew out early. The flight over took 22 hours. That is counting the flight from Nashville into Los Angeles, and then from Los Angeles. I left late that night, Los Angeles time, and arrived in Brisbane, Australia on that Wednesday morning. So left here on a Monday, left on a Wednesday, and they are 15 hours ahead. So that's kind of factors into those hours. The return flight was 21 hours, and I was able to catch a different flight to get me in just a little bit earlier than what I had initially anticipated. Went via Chicago and then Chicago down into Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm not switching. Whenever I got into Australia, I stayed with this couple in the back, Mick and Heather Payne. This is Mick's father, Frank, and his mother, Lainey. I have more to say about them here in a minute. These four girls are their daughters, Sarah, Natalie, and Rachel, and Claire. And you can see what they're wearing is Tennessee Vols shirts. I love Tennessee. So I thought the first converts we want to make is to get some new Tennessee fans. We took them some souvenirs from the States. And believe it or not, those girls love those shirts so much that they wore them every time that we were going to services the whole time that I was there. Mick and Heather are very involved in the church at Gipps Street. I will say that Frank and Lainey, they have been involved in the works at Gipps Street, which is the congregation that I've worked primarily with each time that we've been in Australia. They have recently left that congregation, and I say recent, back in March of this year with about eight others to begin a new work. And let me say this, that whenever they left to begin a new work, they were citing scriptural reasons for leaving the church there and saying that this was just cause for them to leave and to begin a new work because they could no longer be in fellowship with the brethren there. I did not realize that there had been a split when I agreed to go. However, about 2 or 3 weeks after I'd purchased tickets to go into Australia again and work, I received a call from Mick saying that his mother and father had left and that they were considering leaving and that there were possibly others also going to leave. And he also cited what he said to be scriptural reasons for their leaving. And I encouraged him and Heather to remain there at the congregation and that when I would arrive in September, we would see if we would be able to get all the facts and then work through some of the things that were going on. And I'll talk about those things as we go on into the presentation. In this, I stayed in a place called Highfields, Australia, which is about 15-20 minutes outside of Toowoomba. That is where Mick and Heather reside and their family. And each day commuted down. Toowoomba itself sits on a mountain. Highfields sits up higher on the mountain, so I commuted down from Highfields in a car that Mick and Heather loaned me during the time in which I was there. And this kind of gives a picture of the geographical layout of the city. It's right in through here. And this is something new that has been going on for the last year. They're actually building a bypass around Toowoomba. And in that, they plan to have that finished by the end of next year. This is a bridge, closer picture of the bridge. However, you're not able to see it really the way in which we've got the slides presented there, so I apologize for that. Also, a lot of people ask, well, what type of city is Toowoomba? Are they a third world area, or are they more modern? Are they more like what we are? They are every bit of, I guess you would say, is what we are here in the United States. Pretty much anything that you're going to find here, you're going to find there, with the exception of fast food restaurants. They have a lot of what we have here, but at the same time, they're very limited. While Mick and Heather loaned me the car, I did put the gas in with monies that was contributed towards the work, and I found that the gas didn't go quite as far per gallon per se for the dollars that you were putting in as to what you're going to have here in the United States. On average, we probably are paying between $2.50, $2.60 a gallon. That is actually per liter, and if you calculate that out, this was one of the lowest places, lowest prices. Some of it was $1.50 per liter. So you're getting upwards about $5 a gallon to maybe a little over $5 a gallon by the time you take all that into consideration. They are a modern city with modern designs to everything that you're going to find there. You'll find department stores. You'll notice up over here, Kmart. Kohl's, which is a food chain store, Kentucky Fried Chicken, that is actually a Baskin-Robbins ice cream shop, and then a place called Sizzler, which is more in line of a soup and salad place. And that's the type of restaurants that they have available there. To eat at a Kentucky Fried Chicken, just to kind of share with you the cost of living, to eat a basic meal at Kentucky Fried Chicken would cost you between $10 and $15 per person. To go to the Sizzler and have their soup and salad is $20 per person. I did not get any ice cream at the 31 place, Baskin-Robbins, but they tell me that it will cost you about $7, $8 per person for an ice cream cone. Things are quite expensive. For an automobile in Australia, for the basic automobile, I was told that they begin about $40,000 and go up from there. The people, their entry-level wages begin somewhere around $18 to $20 an hour. And with an understanding of what they have to pay for everything, I understand certainly why they have to make so much in a minimum wage. In that, I did go periodically to the local McDonald's and get a coffee, and that coffee cost for a small cup of coffee was $5.15. You could also add a piece of bread with that for $3. So quite expensive to eat there and about. Took some pictures also just to help us understand what they have there. This is a Holden dealership, which Holden is the same thing as a Chevrolet here in the United States. Chevrolet, as well as Holden, as well as Ford, and then also Toyota, have had their plants in and throughout Australia. However, at the close of this year, they will no longer have automobile manufacturing there in the country. So they're losing some of their economic abilities there. The Carnival of Flowers, the Parade of Flowers, took place the first weekend that I was in the country. I landed on a Wednesday and went to work immediately that afternoon, presenting a lesson at the congregation at their midweek service. And then on Thursday, went out and started knocking doors and did that on Thursday, and then again on Friday. And then Saturday, I went out knocking on doors, and I was not catching anyone at all home. And I got to thinking, well, where is everyone? And I called and asked Mick, I said, what's going on? I said, is there something going on in town that I'm not aware of? And he says, there's a big parade. He says, this is our carnival of flowers. And he says, you ought to go down there. He said, that's where everybody is. So I went through and I walked the streets downtown just to get a picture of what's going on. They went quite elaborate, I will say, on their floats. And when he said that everybody was down there, I trust that everybody was down there, for street after street after street was packed with the people. And then I was able to go back out that night or that afternoon and to do additional work. This is a picture of the church building there at 52 Gipps Street. This is the front of the building as it faces Gipps Street. This is the back of the building, of which most people park in the back and go into the front. And then I took a picture of some of the things that maybe help to define the congregation there. They have their goals that they set forth as a congregation for unity, for edification, for evangelism. Those are some of the same goals that we have here, because those are biblical goals that are outlined in the New Testament Scripture. Then in like figure, they have various works that they are involved in, from Kenya to other parts of Africa and into Malaysia. So this congregation at one time used to be considered the largest Church of Christ, largest faithful Church of Christ in Australia. I don't know that they're still the largest faithful congregation, because they have through the years experienced a couple of splits. So today they would be probably about 70 to 75, maybe 80 at best, as far as the size of the congregation. These books, they have a book rack as you first go in. Those are song books in through there, and then commentaries. And one thing that I try to notice whenever I go into an area and work with a congregation is what they have on their shelves, what they have in their track racks. And that will tell me a lot about a congregation. And in that, I found that the commentaries that they're using are brotherhood commentaries that are very solid, reputable commentators. And then the tracts that they are using are the same tracts that we are purchasing here at East End and using. Again, to me, that says a lot about the congregation. Also, we purchase material to take in to the congregation. We purchased some of the house-to-house tracts, and this is just a variety of the different ones we took. In fact, I took almost a suitcase full of material to give to the congregation there, to leave behind for them after our work was completed. Then in like figure took, I believe it was 100 of the World Video DVDs on Searching for Truth. Another one that was entitled, Why Are There So Many Churches? There are a vast number of different denominations in and around Toowoomba and then throughout Australia. So that material is as valuable over there as what it is even to us here in the United States. Brother Bobby Craig told me about a publication that had been put together with a church over at Mount Juliet called One Question. And I don't have a picture of that, but there is a copy of it laying on the table in the back. And I took, I believe it was 50 or 100 of those over as well. And then was able to make up business cards with the Toowoomba Church of Christ name and all their service information and outreach efforts in regard to seeking to reach the world with a message of Jesus Christ. We used a lot of this material, some of the material I'll say, as we were going door to door, distributing. Everyone received a business card with the church information on it. And not only did we distribute the information with the literature, that is, but we also invited them to come along. That's what they call it over there. If you're inviting people to come to services, to come along to the Wednesday night services as well as the Sunday services. And then on the tail end of my visit there and work, we were also involved in a lectureship. Each year the church there has a lectureship in September. And a part of my work going this time was to speak on that lectureship, and I'll have more to say about that later on. But we invited people to come along even to the lectures, and we actually were able to have some success in all of that. Our initial outreach was the neighborhood surrounding the church's meeting house there at 52 Gipp Street. And that was on Thursday. As I went out, it was windier than all get out. The wind was up. It was very cold. And that morning, I started off by myself. In fact, worked that whole day by myself, going out and around the building and knocking on doors. And I only had one person that first day that showed any interest at all. And everyone else was closing the door pretty much in my face, saying, "No, I'm not interested." I got a lot of, "I'm atheist. I don't believe in God. Just go on your way." And that evening, I spoke with Dawn, which I believe would have been the morning here, and I told her, I said, "I'm very disappointed. I knew that there were issues in the church that I was going to have to deal with, and that was kind of bothersome to me. But then also, the first day on the doors, only to have one person halfway interested and everybody else closing the doors in your face was a little bit discouraging, to say the least." And I told Dawn, I said, "I'm discouraged, and I said, I'm not sure really what I'm doing here." Well, never question God, correct? And the next day, we expanded our work out into around a mile area of the church is really where we worked the whole time that I was there. And the second day, I had an individual whose name is Ron Hansen go with me. And I think that it's always best that if you can have someone go with you, hence it makes it maybe a little less intimidating for those people. But then also you're able to play off of conversation and such. We met several people as we went out to the doors that day. And in fact, that day there was only one person that wasn't at all interested, and they slammed the door in our face. But the others would at least give us a time of day. We could talk to them about the church. We were able to set up one Bible study that day, of which we went back later and was able to conduct that Bible study. Here are some of the faces and people that I met and studied with along the way. This lady's name is Jana. She is a member of the Jehovah's Witness faith. Admittedly, she said that there are things that they teach that she did not agree with. And we got into a consideration of some of those things and pointed out that they have their New World Translation and that they translate John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." And she said, "My translation doesn't say that." And we said, "Well, do you have the New World Translation?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "Would you mind to go get it and show us?" And she went and got her New World Translation. She opened it up to John chapter 1 and verse 1, and guess what? She saw that her translation does say that. In that, she promised us that she would come along for one of the studies, but she never did. You get a lot of that. Even people who will find that they have things wrong, still they will not obey. We even find that here. This man's name is Stephen. He did come along to our last Sunday night service before I left the country. And he is very religious. He is religiously wrong. He has been a part of different denominations. And the night that he came along for our service, myself and Ron talked with him further. Ron and I made the contact. And he assured us that he was going to come back and that he would engage in a Bible study with Ron and other men of the congregation. So please be praying for Stephen that that door will remain open. This family, of which I'm pictured with, the husband's name is Dennis. His wife's name is Didette. And I'm not sure what the children's names are. It fails me. But they are erring members of the church. And to show you kind of what can take place when there's division in the church, these people are the consequence of division in the church. They saw the way that brethren were bickering with one another and that there was a seed of discord amongst the church. And they left the church, not going to that group that had split off, but also not going back to Gipp Street. Brother Abraham Miller, who was a part of the church in 2010, whenever we were there, in 2011, and is still a part of the church at Gipp Street today, arrange for myself and him to meet with Dennis and Dedette and the family. In fact, their son is also a member of the church. And we talked for several hours that night about the need to remain faithful to God no matter what was going on in the body of Christ. Dennis did come back to the church for a visit the Sunday morning that I preached in the lectureship. And he said that they would be back that night and that Dedette would also be with him. She was working that morning, was the excuse that he gave for her not being there. She did not come along that night, but Dennis was back that night. And he also has promised me that he will continue to come, and brethren are going to reach out to him to see if indeed he might be able to be restored, but then also that they might be able to have an impact upon Dedette, his wife, and their son. The first baptism that I was able to be a part of was with a lady by the name of Felicia. Her husband is James. He is the one holding up the backdrop for the baptistry. And Abraham set this study up. They are family members of his. He is the brother to James. James was an erring member of the church. Felicia had never obeyed the gospel. And Abraham asked me if I would go along to study with them. He had studied with them in the past, but he said that he felt like he was not getting really anywhere with them because of the family connections. And sometimes we face those same things here in the United States. And gladly I said, sure, we'll go along. Well, we sat and we studied for an extended period of time and explained to James that as the father of the home, as a Christian father, he needs to make sure that he sets forth the proper example for his children and for his wife to be faithful to God, to attend the Lord's church faithfully. He asked for us to pray for him that he would be restored. We did. And then his wife, Felicia, requested to be baptized. And we covered a lot of ground that day about the oneness of the church, the fact that we are added to the church whenever we are baptized. And hence, Abraham and others of the church are going to continue to study on with them to root in the ground Felicia in the truth as well as James. The second baptism was with a young lady named Adele Chin. She is an Asian girl, and in that, she had been coming along to services I guess since about back in February, maybe sometime in March, if memory serves me correct. She was most interesting. Whenever services concluded on Sunday morning, my first Sunday in the country, I was going to meet her as she was coming to meet me. She's a very friendly young lady. And as we came together, I asked her name and she said, her name, which really I couldn't quite understand, and she said, you can just call me Adele. And I said, well, what's your last name? She said, you can just say it, Chin. And I said, okay. And she says, my Asian name is really harder to pronounce, so she says, just Adele Chin will work. So we struck up conversation, and she shared with me that she had been coming along, but I knew that she was not a member of the church because she said God had led her to the church by giving her the Holy Spirit and showing her that that's where she needed to be. So I asked her, I said, Adele, would you be interested in studying the Bible during the time that I'm here? And she says, I would. In that, I also learned that a member of the church, Ashley, in fact, Ashley has visited here in the United States and with us here at East End, Ashley and Rachel Smith, who are roommates with one another, they have been studying with Adele, laying a foundation, but they said that they did not really understand how to connect all the dots to get her to understand the oneness of the church and how to bring a person to obedience to Christ in baptism. On our first time getting together and talking, we looked at the authority of the Scripture and how that we are to obey what God tells us to do and not to go according to what man says. Having laid that foundation, I asked her, I said, what would you like for us to study about next? And she said, I would like to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I thought to myself, well, that's exactly what I would like to talk about because you feel like you're being led by the Spirit. So we got together and studied again. This time invited a young lady Well, I say young, she's about my age. So invited a lady to come and to be a part of that study so that I was not studying privately or alone with Adele. And I knew that this lady also in the church had some interesting views, I'll put it that way, on the Holy Spirit. And as she came along, laid out a lesson on what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, unto whom He was given, why He was given, and all of those things, and clearly refuted what it was that she felt like she believed, to the point to where she even said, well, that means that the Holy Spirit is not in me. And I said, well, how do you feel about that? And she says, well, she says, I'm okay with that if that's what the Bible teaches. And the girl, though, who was also in the study, she says, well, that means that if the Holy Spirit's not in her, the Holy Spirit's not in me. And I thought, well, that lays the foundation then for me to also teach what I think needs to be taught amongst the congregation. And we certainly did that. After having studied with Adele for 3-4 times, she expressed a desire to be baptized into Christ and certainly felt blessed to be able to immerse her into Christ. We continued to study each day, and she was very eager to study each day. While I remained in the country, and in fact, the last day that I was in Toowoomba, we met again and we talked about the worship of the church at that point. Ashley and Rachel will continue on to study with them. This lady, Jan, and I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. I picture her because she was baptized by the group that was with us, Dawn and myself, in 2010 when we did the campaign for Christ. She has fallen away from the church. She had moved off to Perth and she became associated with denominationalism there. Whenever she came back, she found division in the church at Gift Street and she did not want to be a part of that, so she went and joined herself with what I'm going to call the Associated Churches of Christ, which really and truly resembles the Christian church here in the United States. They're instrumental and they have open fellowship amongst the denominational world. I had been asking about Jan, and no one seemed to really know what had happened to her, but they did know that she was still living in the area. It's interesting, the last Sunday that I was in the country and preaching that morning, she and her family showed up. And I went back to her and asked her, I said, had somebody reached out to you and told you that I was here and for you to come? And she said, no. She said, we just decided to come this morning. And I said, well, that's interesting. I said, you know, I've been asking about you and been praying about you. And she said, well, she says, my husband and I have decided that this is probably where we need to be. The following day, Monday, before I flew out on Wednesday, myself and another one of the ladies, Larissa, her name is Larissa, we went and visited with Jan, talked with her about the church, identified once again what she should have known, should have been taught early on, and that is that there is one true church and that we cannot be a part of denominationalism. And in that, of course, my time with her was very limited because this was my last day in that area. So I asked her, I said, if I write on some things and send the information to you, will you read and study over that material? And she said, you're going to write things just for me? And I said, well, I can do that. But I said, I also write for the bulletin back home. And I said, those articles will be necessary, needful, and helpful even back home. So I said, if I write those, use them in our bulletin, then I said, can I forward that over to you? Would you read and study that? And then would you read and study those with someone? And she said that she will. So the articles that I will be producing over the next several weeks will be centered in and around the church, the oneness of the church and such. And hence she will be receiving that information. And Daniel and Larissa McDonald will be following up with that study. The last weekend of being in the country, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, they held their annual lectureship. Their first speaker is Daniel Smith. Daniel is from Gympie, Australia, and I did some work in 2011 when I went into Australia and worked in Gympie. And Daniel and I were able to work a little bit at that time. He was just a young boy at this stage. Today he is in his 20s, I'm going to say around 24, 25 years of age. He is going through the school of preaching in Tasmania, which is an island on the southern portion of Australia. And in that, it is a very solid school. Many here know Brother Rod Rutherford. Well, Rod's son, Brett Rutherford, is preaching in that area, and Brother Brett is responsible for the school there at Tasmania. And Daniel is studying under him and other professors there at the school. And in fact, Daniel presented two lessons during the time of the lectureship, and he did a beautiful job. Wonderful lessons, very scriptural and very logically laid out. They are considering hiring Daniel to come in and to work with the church there at Gift Street. Many here will remember Brother Chris Herod. Chris and Michelle Hurd, they were working with the church in Toowoomba beginning in 2010. They left that work about 2 years ago to work with the church in New Plymouth, New Zealand. And since that time, they've not had a full-time worker, as they say, a full-time preacher. Now, Daniel will be graduating from the school at Tasmania in December, and they interviewed him while I was there, and they asked me to be a part of that interview, and for the most part, I just sat and listened to what they had to offer and questions that they were posing, and it was interesting, and again, it was very encouraging, is that they were asking him things pertinent to doctrine, and he was answering things from a doctrinal standpoint. So they are considering bringing him in to work full-time with the church there in Toowoomba. This other individual is Ian Coker, and he works with the church in Tufuna, I believe is how they say that. Ian Coker worked with the church at Gibb Street for many years. In fact, for about 30 years, this is my understanding. And finally, according to what he said, he was feeling burned out. It felt like it was time for him to go somewhere else, and he did. And I believe he has been at this work here for 12 to 15 years and seems to be doing very well. Ian presented two lessons as well. He presented one on Friday night and then our Sunday night lesson to close out the lectureship. And then I was also able to speak on the lectureship, presenting six lessons, four on Saturday, and then two on the Lord's Day. We were able to engage in time of food and fellowship. Anytime brethren get together, we've got to eat, correct? And they're no different than what we are. I will say that some of the meals that they presented, I'm not sure what I ate. And in that, though, it was quite good. I didn't have anything that I would say tasted bad. In fact, on my first Sunday there, I preached every opportunity, every Lord's Day, except for that last one on the Sunday night. I didn't preach then, but every Wednesday had a chance to teach classes. And that was most helpful for me anyway, to be able to do that and to address some things that certainly needed to be addressed. But the first Sunday morning after services, Brother Dave Christian, his wife was out of town in Japan. He asked if he could take me to lunch. So I went to lunch with him as well as with another individual. And I asked him, I didn't know what I was ordering. And I said, "You just order whatever you're ordering." I said, "That'll be good enough for me." So he ordered me what he ordered. I ate it, and that night he said, "I can't believe you ate such and such." And I didn't know what it was that he was talking about. And he says, "Well, you Americans look at that as pig food." So I'm still not sure what I ate, but it must be considered pig food. I washed my mouth out that night after I got home. It was certainly a blessing to be able to reacquaint with some. Many might remember Rosita Hunt. Rosita came here to the United States about 2 or 3 years ago, visited with us here at East End during her visit. There's Daniel, and Daniel's actually engaged to, her name is Hannah, and they will be marrying shortly after the first of the year. And here is Ashley. Ashley, again, has been with us, and Ashley has been studying with Dale. And this lady's name is Denise. Denise is one of those who left the congregation at Gibb Street and has gone over to be with Frank and others at another work. With regard to the lectureship, there were brethren from Gympie, of course, those from Toowoomba. Brethren came up from Tasmania. Others came over from Perth. Others came from the area where Ian and Diane Coker were from. And then from Brisbane. And I put Brisbane on there for a reason, because when Dawn and I were in the country in 2010, we stayed with a couple in Brisbane for one night while we were waiting on our transport to come and to pick us up to take us on into Toowoomba. And that had been arranged by one of the members there. And they gave us a heads up and they said, the people you're staying with, they're pretty liberal-minded. They claim to be members of the church, but they're pretty liberal-minded. Well, they were, because we found that they had wine in the home that night, and they in fact offered us some. And I said, no thanks, we don't drink, we think that it's sin. And that led into an interesting conversation. But I say that to say that at that time, that led me to question the churches in Brisbane. I asked, are there any faithful churches in Brisbane? And in 2010, they said no. Well, this time, I was pleasantly pleased to find is that they are now in fellowship with a congregation in Brisbane, just one, and those people came along to the lectureship this year. I want to talk about, just briefly, some of the issues confronting the church there. Some of the things that I had to deal with was the idea that social drinking is not sinful. The first Saturday evening that I was in the country, Daniel McDonald, who had initiated my visit, he had a Bible study set up in his home. And he purposely invited those specific with the issue of social drinking. I had no idea what questions they were going to ask, but they were going to ask questions. I did know that. And Daniel's dad, who is Tony McDonald, very solid member of the church, as we were getting ready to begin, they looked at me and said, Kevin, tonight you are conducting the whole study. And I said, okay, well, the way that I want to conduct the study then is to open it up for whatever questions you might have. What would you like for our discussion tonight to be around? And Tony spoke up and said, what about social drinking? And we led into a complete, exhaustive study from the Old Testament and in through the New Testament to refute the idea of social drinking, and that there is no way from a biblical standpoint that it would be acceptable for Christians to even have the first drink. Therefore, the conclusion is that it is sin. And again, I did not know at that time who was holding to those views. I did know that some was. And one of those individuals later, and I say later, it was that next Wednesday night, came up to me and identified himself as one who had been holding to that position, and he said that he had never heard all of the biblical argumentation, as he put it, presented as such. And he said that he had been given a lot to think about. So please be praying for that individual. His name is Aaron, and I truly believe that with further study, and in fact one of the other leaders in the church, David Christian, he was talking to me more so about Aaron before I left, and I said, be patient with him and continue to study with him. And here's a conversation that Aaron and I had back on Wednesday. Another is an idea that I believe is in line with Roman Catholicism on binding and loosing, based out of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. A gentleman by the name of Rick, which is most interesting, I said that Frank and Laney have left the church at Gipps Street, and I'll have more to say about them here in just a few minutes. That is Mick's dad, the father of the ones that I was staying with. Rick and his wife Ruth, that is Heather's mother and father. Well, Rick is one who is holding to this view about being able to bind and loose. And he presented this before the church. He was allowed to preach. He's a preacher and has retired to the area, but at the same time, because the church there does not have a full-time worker, he has been filling in for them up until back in March, that is, in preaching. And he presented this idea that says that if someone is in an unscriptural marriage, then the leaders in the church, the preacher elders, if there's elders. If there's not elders, then the men of the congregation can get together and decide to give mercy to that individual or those individuals, and those people then are free to go out and to marry whomever they would desire to marry. I had an opportunity on two different occasions to sit down with Rick personally and privately and to discuss these matters. And I asked him, I said, Rick, do you understand what you are suggesting? Is that God has given us the right to bind and to loose, not only in that area, but if you're going to take it in that area, in every other area under the sun? And he said, absolutely. And I said, would the Lord then, why would He need to give us His Word if none of that is truly binding upon us? And he said, well, that's a good point, but at the same time, the Scripture says what it says. And I said, Rick, have you gone to the Brotherhood Schools of Preaching? And he did. He went to Sunset years and years ago. And let me say today, I know where Sunset is from things that I have seen and read about them and even talked to some of them down there who are their professors, and they are not a solid school in the Brotherhood today. Back when Rick went through it, I'm not sure where they were from a sound standpoint, but I know what Rick is purporting is not according to sound doctrine. Whenever I left the country, he was still holding to those unscriptural positions, yet the church has stood him down. In fact, that goes back to March, even before Frank and his family left. They stood him down, meaning that he is not allowed to teach, he's not allowed to preach, or anything such as that matter. They continue on to study with him in hopes that they will someday be able to bring him out of this false school of thought. Then in like figure, there were some, as I have identified, who holds to or were holding to denominational concepts in regard to the Holy Spirit. The lady who was a part of my study with Adele, she believed in a literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit was given at the point of baptism, and then the Spirit was leading her throughout life. Another individual believed in a literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit would bring comfort to their life in a literal manner. Refuted all those things during a Wednesday night class. And that's the class that I explained during one of our Wednesday night classes. I had about 30 minutes to teach, and about 30 minutes into it, I saw that we weren't going to be able to get through the material, and I told them, listen, I have about another hour's worth of material at least to go through. If you want to meet another time, I'm more than happy to do that and to go through the material. Or I said, if you want, we can continue to go through it, and if you need to leave, you leave. And unanimously, all of them said, keep on teaching. And no one got up and left. So we taught on the Holy Spirit for an hour and a half that night. And as a result of that, Lisa, who was a part of my study with Adele, she came up to me and she said, based out of everything that you have said tonight, she said, I have no other choice but to change my position on the Holy Spirit. Brethren, whenever people say things like that, you know that your time has been worthwhile and that your efforts have been successful. Her mother was the other individual. And she came up and she said, I see exactly what you're saying. But she said, I still feel. We stayed afterwards for quite some time, myself and Ron Hansen, who also holds to the scriptural position, and her husband, Russell. And we talked for probably another 35, 40 minutes that night. And her conclusion was, she says, I feel. And I said, Lynn, you can't feel. It's got to come from the Word of God. And she said, I see what you're saying. I will continue to study this matter. So please pray for Lynn that her heart is not only pricked, but then also that she will come along with what God expects us to understand and believe on this issue. Another point was on excommunication whenever a withdrawal is taking place. This is primarily, and I want you to get this, this is primarily why Frank and Laney and this group has left. Frank has been, and Dawn and I knew this about Frank whenever we went into the country in 2010. I spoke with Frank about this whenever I went back in 2011, and it's come to a head, is where it is today. Frank has held to a position that whenever the church withdraws from someone, is that you treat them completely as an enemy. You excommunicate from them. Family can have absolutely nothing to do with family. A wife can have absolutely nothing to do with her husband. And that first Friday night, I believe it was, Nick and Heather had set up for us to go and to have tea, which was supper, is what we would call it, evening tea with his mother and father, Frank and Laney. And we started to lay out some of those things. And Frank was holding very firm on his positions. And I said, Frank, the wife is also obligated, is she not, to her husband? If God recognizes a marriage, then does not her obligations to the husband for companionship and other things still continue on? And he said, well, I see what you're saying, but that's not what I believe. Well, that night I left there, kind of frustrated, I'll be completely honest with you, because he wasn't willing to listen to what I believe, Scripture and logic. And as my time there went on, two of their members, two of those others who had left with him, also called Mick and Heather and said, would Kevin mind to come and pay us a visit? Well, Donna and I knew those people, and Denise was one of those individuals. And I said, sure, I will. But I said, you make sure that Frank knows is that they're calling me, I'm not calling them. And they said, we'll do that. Well, they didn't do that. I went and visited with the first couple. They asked me, said, I understand that you take opposition to Frank's view. And I said, well, what is Frank's view? Because I want them to know what they believe if they're holding to what he believes. And they explained it quite well. And I said, well, I don't believe that. I said, I believe that we must leave the door open, and here's why. Because according to what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 and verse 15, very explicitly, do not treat them as an enemy, but admonish them as a brother. There must be some sort of an open door in order for us to continue then to admonish them in hopes of bringing them back to the Lord. And they said, that has never been brought out. And then Denise wanted to meet with me one night after the lectureship. She and I went over to McDonald's and sat down for coffee, and we talked about those same things. And she said, it's always been hard for me because, she said, I've had absolutely nothing at all to do with my children since they all left the church. And I asked her, I said, have you been successful in getting them back in that way? And she said, no. And I said, well, I'm going to ask you to maybe soften up a little bit. Let them know, certainly, that they're out of fellowship with God and that you totally disagree with where they are. But at the same time, you're their mother. And I believe that you have an obligation to reach out to them in love. And she said, I'm going to do that. And she met the following day with her children. And she told them, you're out of fellowship with God. I'm not in fellowship with you as a Christian mother. But she said, I am your mother. And she said, I want us to have an open door and to have a relationship. And she said, my goal is to get you back to the Lord. So please pray for her family. Frank called me up. And he said, I understand you've been talking to some of my members. And I said, Frank, they called me. And I said, Frank, I'd love to meet with you once again. And we met at Mick and Heather's house for tea the final night that I was there at their home. And I didn't know how Mick and Heather was leaning as well. And I had called and spoke with Tony, and I said, Tony, tomorrow morning I'm supposed to go down to Brisbane and catch a plane. I said, I might need to call you, and I said, I might even need a place to stay tonight. And he said, well, if you need, you just call. So I met with, we had our evening tea that night. Nick and I and his father sat and we talked. And we opened the Bible, we studied the Scripture time and time again, in regard to the positions that he was holding. And here's what Frank said. He said, admittedly, I might be wrong. And I said, Frank, that's the best news that I've heard since I've been in the country. And I said, do me a favor. The brethren from Gift Street are planning to go in to speak with Frank and Laney. And I said, do me a favor. Tell the brethren at Gift Street that. I said, you know what they've admitted? Is that they've not acted quick enough whenever it came to Rick and that false doctrine. I said, both parties have made mistakes. Please work for unity. And if at all possible, please work to bring you all back under the same roof. I don't know that that's going to happen, but I do ask you to pray. is that this, their meetings will go well, and that hopefully, prayerfully, that they will be able to work together as brethren, if not under the same roof, at least in terms of fellowship. And then again, and I just brought this out, a failure to address issues in a respectable behavior. Their men's meetings, go ahead and turn the lights back up, Clyde. You can turn the lights on. Their men's meetings, according to what I was told, over the last several months have become nothing but fights. They were accomplishing absolutely nothing. And brethren also pray that whenever they speak with one another, about one another, is that they will be able to deal with each other respectively. Whenever I left the country, we had two baptisms. Pray for those souls. I will say also with Adele, I've received information last week, and I knew her husband was involved in drugs. She did tell me that, and he had been abusive to her. Last Sunday morning, she went home from services, and she found her husband in bed with another lady. We have conversed in dialogue as to Facebook messaging as to where she stands scripturally. I'm not sure where all that's going to go. So pray for her. She said it's hard to be a Christian. And I told her, I said, yes, it is hard to be a Christian, but it is the most important thing that you will ever do in life, and your faithfulness to God as a Christian will determine whether or not you're able to be in heaven with Him. So please pray for her. Pray for all the things that we have done in our outreach efforts with those souls that have come to Christ, with those souls who have been restored to Christ, two souls restored, and then with the brethren that they will be able to work through their differences. Let me say also, thank you for those who were able to give financially to the work. Your monies have gone to buy the materials as well as for my being able to travel to and from and there and about and things of that nature. Thank you for your support financially, but also I know that not everyone's able to give financially. Thank you also for your prayers. I know that God opened doors. I know that He turned my Thursday, where only one person was partially interested, to my next Friday and every day after that, where everything was good. He turned that around because you were praying for the work. And I thank you for that. But please continue to pray that these efforts will not be in vain. God stands willing and ready to forgive us of all unrighteousness. God does not want us to be lost. And it may be tonight that we have people here who are outside of Christ. And friends, we want you to know that we think about you constantly, and we pray that your heart will be opened and that your understanding will be proper and that your heart will say, I want to become a Christian. And you may be here tonight and you may be that person that I'm speaking to. And tonight you say, I'm not going to leave before I put Christ on in baptism. And if that is your desire, we will assist you to become a Christian by taking your confession and submitting you to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And it may be that we have brethren here who are struggling in some way. And if you're struggling with sin, don't let that sin separate you from God. If it has separated you from God, tonight we will pray with you and for you for restoration. If you're subject to the Lord's call, please come as together we stand and as we sing.